Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Okay, the awesome duo of Doris and Dave are going to come and play. Now, Dave, would you come and play for us? That'd be great. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. we should take the offering after that. Come on.
We're so good at hiding. Putting on a mask. But within everyone, there is a darkness that the Spirit of God is still working against to make us more like Jesus.
You brought that bottle home in a paper sack. Close the blinds and lock the door. Nothing but empty there inside that glass. So you pour a little more, and there's no one there to judge you. At least that's what you tell yourself. But don't you know, nobody drinks alone. Every demon, every ghost from your past, every memory you've held back follows you home. Nobody drinks alone. You remember whiskey on your daddy's breath, so you always stick to wine. And you scared your little brother half to death. You just kept it all inside. And you can hear your mama crying. Only now she cries for you. Don't you know, nobody drinks alone. Every demon, every ghost from your past, every memory you've held back follows you home. Nobody drinks alone. Nobody drinks alone.
So there's only one thing that we can do with these addictions that we try to hide from everybody else. And that is simply to just take them to the Lord. Be honest.
You've heard a multitude of prayer on thy behalf. I pray one more is not too much to ask. Tried to fight this battle by myself, but it's a war that I can't win without your help. Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. Once upon a time you turned the water into wine. On my knees, I'm turning to you, Father. Would you help me turn the wine back into water? So many times I've hurt the ones I love. I push them to the edge of giving up. They stood by me, but how much can they stand if I don't put this bottle in your hand? Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. And once upon a time you turned the water into wine. On my knees. knees, I'm turning to you, Father. Would you help me turn the wine back into water? Shook my fist at heaven for all this hell that I've been through. Now I'm asking for forgiveness and a miracle from you. Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. And I'm down, I can't fall much farther. And once upon a time you turned the water into wine. So on my knees I'm turning to you, Father. Would you help me turn the wine back into water? Help me turn this wine back into water.
Psalm 146. Let's pray together before we read the scriptures too, shall we? Lord, thank you for your word. You have revealed yourself to us by speaking to us in our language. Holy Spirit, you superintended the writings of the ancients to give us your word, not just containing your ideas, but we believe these are your very words that you have given to us. We ask for your blessing on us, Lord, as we open the scriptures. Nobody is capable, Lord, of taking the scriptures and applying them to their own lives, let alone anybody else's. Spirit of God, we ask you for your activity on us as a group, that you do your work, and that you would help us as you have promised. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirits depart, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. You should have that underlined in your Bible. I don't care if your grandma gave you the Bible for Christmas. Underline that line. The Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien. He sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Man, what a psalm. What a song that the folks sang in those days. We're having our parking lot repaired over these next few weeks. We have Dan, the parking lot man, taking care of it for us. He's an old dude, older than me, so I'm old, so anybody older than me is really old. He's an old dude, and he's got his guys, and he comes out, and something unusual, because it doesn't happen very often anymore. He talks about the repairs he's going to make, what he's going to do, and gives me a number. And I talked to the board, and we decided to go with him, and I say yes, and he sticks his hand out. Well, I shake his hand. I said, good to see you. He goes, no, this is our contract. He said, I don't do contracts. I said, really? He said, I told you I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it well, and I'm going to do it for this price. And then he makes this quote. He said, you know, Pastor, you're only as good as your word. Man, isn't that something? It's true. You want to know if somebody's faithful, do they keep their word? Now, we have this problem that we put all of our trust in people. That's a problem. The Lord said about what he says, he says, I exalt my word above my name. You want to know why? Your name is only as good as your word. He makes promises, and he's going to keep them all the way through eternity. Our problem is that we trust somebody else. In fact, you notice verse 2. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, that means they die, okay? They return to the ground, their bodies. And on that very day, their plans come to nothing. The problem is, if you put all your trust in a person other than God, that person is going to die sometime. And all the promises they made you, they're not going to be able to keep them anymore. Had a wedding yesterday out on the farm. Kids getting married were precious. Good, hard-working young man that you respect, and a sweet girl who's so smart. And they just adore each other and love each other and love the Lord and all that. It was a great day. They made their promises. I take you to be my lawfully wedded husband or wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, and keeping myself from all others for as long as we both shall live. I told you I did a wedding for a biker group. When they asked me, I had to do it because I just had to see this. But when I got to the point in the guy's vow, and keeping myself from all others for as long as we both shall live, every guy in the group went, whoa! They had never heard that before in their lives. And keeping myself from all others, and here's the big one, for as long as we both shall live. You can only keep promises for as long as you're here. Our problem is that we put our you know, our trust in other things. 4th of July, down at the parade, I was sitting with Waleen. And Gloria, they were there at our friend Bruce's house. And when the tractors went by, the big track, you know, all the tractor club, she said, that's how I learned to drive right there. Am I doing it right? Is that okay? Yeah. That's how I learned to drive right there. Not by driving my daddy's car, but by driving that tractor. They worked hard on the farm. They picked cotton and everything in the days, right? Anyhow, that's something. There was an old guy I knew who, his dad had been, actually, this is how close we are all connected. His father had been a Civil War veteran, and I knew him in the 70s, just before he passed away. I mean, we're only those few, isn't it strange we're that close to everybody that we think is so far off? But anyhow, his daddy taught him how to plow with a horse, Willane. And he didn't know how to do it. And he said, Daddy, how do I make straight lines? And Daddy said, pick something out in the distance. Fix your eyes on that, and your rows will be straight. So when his daddy came out to check on him, his rows did this. He said, what happened? I told you to fix something off in the distance. He said, I did. A cow, and it moved. So he's like, you know? And that's the problem with humans. We don't stay here. We move on, right? So he says in this beautiful old song of the Israeli people, don't put your trust in princes. I mean, those are the guys with all the power and all the money, right? I'm sorry. No political leader is going to give you what you want, okay? Nobody like that is the answer to your life. The Lord is. And the problem is that mortals die and can't keep their word. And so he encourages us, the writer encourages us to trust in the real God, the real living God. And he gives us some awesome information about the Lord. He gives us some stuff. He gives us the Lord's resume. He talks to us about his character. And then he talks to us about his being. Let me talk to you about, first of all, his resume. That means what he's done in the past, right? I was talking to my friend yesterday morning. We had an appointment, and she's looking for a new counselor and working through some stuff. And she found this counselor, and she brought this piece of paper. And she said, Pastor Tom, do you know this therapist? Here's her resume. I mean, it was great. Not only was she a therapist, she had a degree from the Moody Seminary. I mean, which is the Moody Bible Institute, Chicago. I mean, we love those guys. Anyhow, yeah, this seemed like a wonderful person, but her past looked fantastic. I said, you got to go with this girl. At least give her a try. I mean, this person has everything right in the past. So it says in verse 5, it says, blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Why? Well, check the resume. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. Check out his resume. He created everything by the power of his great word, and he sustains it by his own will. Incredible, the machine of this universe. You think if God can create and sustain this amazing creation, both here in earth and all the way in space to its very end, you think maybe he can take care of the little details in our lives, no matter how big they seem to us? I think you've got a pretty good resume to help. What do you think? You think he can handle it? I was listening to a physician that doesn't, but he believes that God exists, but he's totally impersonal. That he set the universe in order and then backed up and just leaves it all go on its own. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is not just the creator, but the sustainer, the Bible tells us, of all things. His resume is incredible. And when you know somebody's past, you can trust them in the future. Sure about the little old lady that was on the witness stand? She lived in a small town, and there had been this trial going on, and they called this little old lady to come up as a witness. It's a true story. She comes up on the stand, and the prosecutor comes over and says, "Oh, hi, hello, Mrs. Jones. So nice to see you. I've seen you on the street for all these years, but I've never been able to talk. It's really nice to meet you. And do you know me?" She goes, "Oh, yes, Mr. Smith, I know you. I know you're lazy. I know you got a gambling problem and run up all kinds of debts. And I know that your rates are sky high because you're trying to keep ahead of your creditors. Oh, I know you." Well, of course, he's kind of freaking out and didn't. Well, do you know the defense attorney? She goes, Oh, yeah. I know Mr. Dermott. Oh, yeah, I know him well. I've known him since he was a little boy. He was a creep when he was little. I know he cheats on his wife. In fact, he's got two girls right now, one in Tulsa and the other one in Miami. I know all about those women. Oh, I know, Mr. Dermott. And the judge says, "Counsel, approach." So the two attorneys go up to the judges, and the judge says, "If either of you knuckleheads ask her if she knows me, I'm going to hold you in contempt." Okay? I mean, somebody's past is like really important, right? I mean, really important. Well, the Lord, his past is he created the universe and holds it all together. He's not some distant God. He's a personal God. You know why we know he's a personal God who cares just not about the universe but individuals? Because he created us as individuals. No matter how hard the naysayers try to say that if they believe in a God, he's not personal and he has nothing to do with us and he can't be connected to us and he doesn't do miracles and it's just the physical world and nothing else. Personality cannot be created by non-personality. It's impossible. And for some reason, they just seem to shoot by that thing and try to go on to some other theories. This God is incredible. His past is beyond finding out. The little bit we know is incredible. If you're looking for somebody to trust, he's the one. Not just his resume. His character is an amazing thing. Look at verses 7 through 9. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. He lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. His character is he is deeply involved in all of it. Deeply involved. Jesus told us, you know it. He said that we shouldn't worry because even the Lord even knows the number of the hairs on our head. Isn't that something? A couple approached me yesterday at the wedding. "You did our wedding." And she did sound like that. "You did our wedding 25 years ago. And she told me, I usually say this line, but she said it. "Your hair was dark and there was more of it." She said, right? Anyhow, there's no faking good character. There's just no faking it. There was this lady, her daughter had come home to visit her for a couple of weeks, and they went out for a walk in their little town. And as they're walking, the little lady comes upon her pastor while she's out walking with her daughter. And the pastor said, "Oh, Betty, it's so good to see you. Is that Becky? Oh my goodness. Last time I saw you, Becky, you were this tall." And the mom says, "Well, she's all grown up now. She's 24. And Becky kind of looks at her mother, and the pastor walks on. She said, "Mother, I'm 34. Why did you tell him that I was 24? She said, "Honey, I've been lying about my age so long, I just start lying about your age." Character is a big, big deal. It is. I'll tell you where character really comes out is on the golf course. Some of the people you respect so much cheat. There was this guy, I'm sorry, I just got it. Once I get this off my mind, I can go on. This guy is at home and his wife says, "Honey, you haven't played golf with Ted lately. Why aren't you playing with him?" He says, "Well, Would you play with a man who cuts strokes? A man that when his ball's in the rough, he kicks it out on the fairway? Would you play with somebody like that? She said, no, I wouldn't. He said, well, Ted won't either. All right, I'm done with this. The Lord's character is amazing because this is the word. He's interactive. Did you see all these situations? He's listing all these situations that you can find yourself in. And the Lord is in the midst helping and working on the behalf of his people. He's interactive. And that's the ultimate statement of he is faithful. What he has promised, he will do, just like the song says. It's absolutely true. Are you concerned about your past? Well, the Lord's faithful. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful. He said he'd do it. He will. And by the way, he's just or right to do it because his son died on the cross for you and paid the debt of your sin. He's faithful and just. That's an incredible statement. The Lord is faithful, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. The Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. That's 2 Thessalonians 3:3. 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. 1 Corinthians 1:8. He will keep you firm till the end. Hebrews 10:23. He who promised is faithful. Do you see that? In fact, let me read you a section here from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Listen to this. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you. That means make you act like you're his, okay? Change you, develop you into the person you're supposed to be. May the Lord sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Man, that's somebody I can trust. So like he's hands-on. He's interactive. He's hands-on. It says he lifts up, right? He does that in all of our lives. Right now, those boys in Thailand are being led out of that cave. You know, each boy is assigned their own professional diver to guide them out. Well, you got way more protection than those boys do. He's there. He's interactive. He's hands-on with you. When I was a little boy, I grew up on Roof Street. You guys haven't forgotten. Thank you. All of us knuckleheads in the neighborhood loved to play football in our side yard. I wasn't very big at the time. We didn't move until I was in eighth grade. And I was probably still singing soprano in the church choir at that time. We would play football out in the side yard, and my dad would come home from work. We're always excited for the old guy to come. Well, usually. Some days we just wanted to stay at work, you know? Mom was really nice, and dad was the disciplinarian. But when he would come home and we were playing football, he would do something. He would come out and play with us. He'd get home, and he hadn't had dinner yet. Mom had on the stove, but he would come, and he would ask us a question. He'd say, which side's losing? And it was usually us guys, the little skinny guys on my team. So the old man would come, and he would get in our huddle. And I'm going to tell you what, when he came into our huddle, the game changed. It was a game changer, because we just didn't have a new plan. We had a new leader. And whoever the little skinny guy was trying to throw the football before was now, you know, resigned to blocking. And the ones with any hands were out there ready to get actually a good pass. And usually the game turned around. Trust him. Now listen, I know you've probably trusted Christ as your Savior. You've asked him to be your Savior and to take your sin away and make you his child. Listen, he wants way more for us. He wants a relationship. He wants you to trust him in your day-to-day life to welcome into the huddle of your life. Man, I'm telling you do that. He's hands-on. So his resume is pretty great. His character is amazing, like you will never see. And last of all, his being. Do you know, it says in Psalm 146, the Lord who remains faithful forever. It's said about Jesus, who right now, by the way, is in heaven, watching your life and talking to his Father. Like they're everywhere at the same time, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? But, I mean, they're here. But they're also in heaven where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's watching our lives and he's talking to the Father about you. And it says he lives forever to make intercession for us. I mean, he lives forever. There's no ending to this contract. His promises never come to an end. They never change. Let me read you 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to read verse 25 to you. And it's really a very similar statement to what we read in Psalm 146. All men and women are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Isn't that a great statement? It stands. It endures. He is eternal. People aren't eternal in this world. We're eternal in that we live beyond this life, either in heaven or in hell forever. But here, the word of the Lord stands, endures forever. It doesn't matter what comes. He's going to fulfill his promises to you. He can't not do it. He never, ever changes. Okay, so the result of this great resume, this incredible character, and this awesome being that calls to each of us to trust him in our day-to-day lives, if we trust him, what happens? My buddy Jim Adams puts it the best. He says, we will be living large. That's what he always used to say. We go to Gatlinburg or something. Boy, Thomas, we're living large. Living large. You want to live large as a Christian? Who wants to live small as a Christian? Hey, I got this this dentist friend of mine. He had this little dinky office for years when I'd seen him. And he had this real cool little fish tank with little fish in it. Well, I go to his new offices. I mean, business is good. He's got this beautiful new office. And he's got this huge fish tank with these huge fish. I said, oh, man, new office, new fish tank, and new great big fish. He goes, no, both are the same fish. He says, tropical fish grow to the size to fit their environment. If you're going to live in your little, oh, woe is me world, where you think you got to do it all on your own, you're going to live very small. You want to become, if I can put it this way, the giant that God intended you to be. You've got to cling to the living God who will never change, will always fulfill his promises. And the confidence that that gives God's people is huge, huge. It causes you to take risks because you know he's watching you. Whenever I get lucky on the golf course and I hit a shot that like bounced like the right way instead of the wrong way, my dad would go, pfft. Yeah, figures, you got somebody watching your backswing, he used to say, you know, just to try to be funny. He's watching all of our backswings. We can risk. Wayne Gretzky, the great one, he talked about one of his earliest hockey coaches that meant so much to him. He said he gave me the best piece of advice I have ever heard in playing hockey. You know, you would think it's like, you know, never give up or one of those, but no. The coach said this, statistics is that you miss 100% of the shots you never take. Did you get that? You miss 100% of the shots you never take. The fear we have of failure. But when God's watching you, I'm telling you, it's huge. Yeah, Debbie and I love going to the Carlisle Inn in Sugar Creek, Ohio. You say, Tom, do you get points or something for plugging them? No, but you should go. It's a wonderful place. And, of course, we love the whole Amish area and all that stuff. I have this huge desire. There's all these Christian people that go to this beautiful resort. Not a resort, but a hotel. And I don't know what it is with Christians and puzzles, but they like, jigsaw puzzles. They just like them. When I go, and this four old people that are working on the puzzle, they've been working for a couple of nights on it, and I just want to go remove a couple pieces and throw them away just to drive them nuts. That's terrible, isn't it? I just have this, want to up their blood pressure and help them along. Nellie Darling had this on her Facebook page this week, and I thought it was really interesting. You know, for some reason we're afraid that the Lord doesn't have all the pieces of our lives in his hand. That somehow there's going to be a piece missing, and somehow it's all going to fall apart and not fit. So Nellie wrote, if you can trust a puzzle company to make sure every piece is in the box to complete the puzzle, why then can't you trust God that every piece of your life is there too? Isn't that a statement? God bless you guys. Think about this. Trust him. Let's stand together to pray. Come on. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, I see in the psalm that we read that it's framed with your praise. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to God as long as I live. And then the last statement, praise the Lord. Wow, to have that kind of joyous life, it only comes from trusting you, because you are the eternal one, the God of God and Lord of lords, the one that keeps his promises, the one who is faithful through all generations, the one who said, even to your gray hair and old age, I am he. Thank you. You never let us go. The promises never change. Thank you for your faithfulness. Now, Lord, you have to help us to stop listening to the enemy in our ear, telling us we can't trust and that we got to keep manipulating our life to make it all work. Lord, rescue us from this bondage. Help us as we walk toward you and trust you. Lord, all of us can think of areas in our lives right now where we are not trusting you, and we offer them to you today, and we believe that you are the God of even that area, and we ask for your help, and you help us, please, to do the right thing in those areas, trusting you. Thank you for the pieces that are in your hand that you'll put together. We know that our lives, that you tell us the big picture, that you're going to get us home, that you're going to take care of us, and that your word gives us just the step-by-step guide, but you don't give us all the details about the future other than your faithfulness. So we cling to that. And your word is a lamp to our feet, a light for our immediate path. We trust you today, and we trust you for tomorrow, and we trust you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a great week.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.